talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It's going to be a fun day in here. I can already tell. Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by the First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, America. We have a full day today, and you can go ahead. Today is Hay Day Tuesdays. If you got hay for sale, go ahead and text it in to me at 580-225-9697. But we might have the show pretty full. And if so, if I don't get to the Hay Day Tuesday brought to you by the Great Plains Bank, we'll do it tomorrow. But I got some really important guests on today. And we got good discussions, especially coming up later in the show with our NCBA president, Mr. Mark Isley, right? Mm-hmm. Did I say that right? Isley? Yeah. He's coming on at 12:30. We're going to talk about the EID tags. But right now, I'm going to start the show out with some temperatures. And then Mr. Jimmy Taylor, president. No, wait. He's the vice president of Taylor Ranch because Tracy's the president.
There you go. I better get that right.
Anyway, he's in the studio. So we got a big day planned. So first, let's check out some temperatures. 85 at Hollis, 83 at Arnett, 81 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, 87 at Freedom, 84 at Fairview, out here in the Texas Panhandle. I have 86 at Lipscomb, 83 at Miami, 81 at Dozer, and 85 at Wellington, and down there across the Red River Bridge into Texas, south of Altus, Odell is 82 degrees. Can you hear me good over there?
No.
You can't? You don't? Can't hear me?
Not through these, no.
Oh, turn the volume up, but I think it's the second knob. Testing 1, 2, 3. Try another knob. Testing 1, 2. Yeah, there we go.
First knob.
First knob. Sorry, my bad. I don't sit on that side, so I don't know. Anyway, Mr. Jimmy Taylor's in here on this Stockman's Vet Happy Hour Day today. And thanks for coming in.
You bet. Thanks for having me, and I don't know about this segment, about the important part of this, but we'll have a good conversation.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a good conversation. Is it dry up your way?
It is. It's going south in a hurry, Jimmy.
Is it me, or is just like the last week or 10 days, man, the grass just went?
It has. We got a little rain right at the last part of August.
Right.
That we're still, it's keeping us green. But it seems like we're right on the verge of really getting dry. The thing that's helping right now, it's not as hot as it was.
Right.
If we had that same heat we had a couple weeks ago, it'd
already be done.
It would be turning.
Right. It'd already be done. Well, what do you guys got going on at the ranch right now? What's happening out there?
Well, we've got several things going. Calving probably is
the fall calving.
Biggest thing. Yes. Yep. We had our first calf right at the end of July, so we've been going 43 days now.
Right.
We've got about 185 cows that have calved in that period of time, but it's been hot and heavy.
Okay, so I know your calves coming up this spring, your spring calvers. Now, you guys changed. Went from AI into bulls. Mm-hmm. Did you do it with these bull? Are these AI'd?
This fall group is the first group that we did that.
Okay.
And I still do that DNA information that I've got. I still use that, but I've had I'd gotten most of the low hanging fruit as far as making progress rapidly, and I still use it. But I use it to match my bulls up. Probably the two traits that I use the most were milk. I've got my females identified, and by the way, that test, it gives me 17 different traits from maternal traits to carcass traits. As you know, I take them all through and sell them on a grid, so prime grade is very important to me. But looking at my bulls, I circled where their weaknesses were and where their strengths, and then did the same with my cow herd, and then matched them up accordingly. Had a really good preg rate for the first time. I did that. In fact, I was really pleased with this fall group. And you can tell with the number of cows I told you we had calved.
Yeah.
We had 91% of them bred in the first 36 days. In a 66-day breeding period, we had 4% open.
That's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. Now, you know, we just preg-checked our spring group and didn't do as well there. One of the reasons is had a problem in one pasture, and we're going to semen test a bull. I don't know if it was the bull or if it was nutrition in that pasture. These were first calf heifers breeding back their second calf, but usually I have pretty good luck.
I call them second calf heifers.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do. I do that some.
Oh, but, see there? Mr. Deal and Mr. Potter, stay off my back.
But anyway, we didn't do as good. I think it was in an 80-day breeding period. We were like 9.5% open in there. Could go back. You know, we're a little droughty. That could have played into it. My nutrition might not have been right, and I had that one pasture where we don't know if it was nutrition or the bull. I'll have
so if you took it. That pasture out of all that mathematics, would that help you?
Oh yeah. that would help, especially in the early breeders.
Right.
You know, some of them came along and bred later, but just some things to look at.
Well, next Monday we're preg checking.
Well,
and we're going to see what happens on that deal. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it. Early Monday morning, I got to get to the show, so I'm probably going to come in here stinking like cow manure.
Regular preg check or ultrasound?
Regular.
Okay.
Yeah, regular. I think she brings them both.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she just goes through there, and if any doubt, then she gets the ultrasound.
Right, and it kind of depends on your situation when you pull the bull. If you pull him a while back, you know, there's no need for the one. We always try to get in there as quick as we can and determine those pregnancies so we can get the cows out of the pasture that's close and send them to a bigger pasture that's at the far end of the place. Well,
get them out of the way.
Yes.
And I won't have any use for you for about 5 or 6 months.
Right.
Go away. Anyway, it's been a and you were saying, you know, it was droughty. There's some, it got hot early, and it was in June. And I think heat does, I'm not a vet, but I think heat does affect the breeding. Cycles and stuff, and I've always noticed when it's real hot and heavy that the AI and or even with the bulls sometimes it don't go as planned. But it's hard to get the perfect condition for breeding.
Right, and then if you do have a hiccup, you've got to look at all of that to see what might have happened.
Right.
You know, another thing on my deal, it could be genetics. The group that did really well that's calving right now, we have not introduced an outside female to the ranch in 12 years, so it's all my genetics. The spring group, we still got some that we purchased, so it's not as many generations of the genetics that I've been working with. So I'll look at that also.
So since you said that, I remember back in, what was it, 2013, 14, when I fracked the wells out there? You remember?
That would have been about right.
Yeah.
13, 14, somewhere
you
in there.
You just started this program, I think. Is that correct?
Well, I just started the AI and the genomically enhanced EPDs. That happened in 2010.
Okay, all right.
Those things came along.
Yeah, because you come by, and we were down on the frack, and you come by and said, come look at my cows. And that's when you showed me your coal pen. And I was like, dang, he's picky. Because I would have bought your coals. But anyway, so now you're 10, 12, 14 years into this deal, somewhere in that deal. Is that one of the reasons why now that you've pretty much, except for the few that you've brought in from the outside, is that, I know there's other reasons, but is that one of the reasons why you're switching from AI to bulls? Because you got the DNA off every cow that you got out there, so you know what's going on in each pasture.
Right, and the fast improvement that you make that right at the first because you recognize these traits.
Right.
And I found as the years go on, and I've made improvements, you know, picked the right bull to go with each female, and her calf, those DNA numbers will be vastly improved. So there's not as many places to improve. So
right.
That's gotten less and less. That low-hanging fruit is gone. So it's a little tougher. So, you know, looking at the cost of the AI, my bulls that I've got, I've tried to buy good bulls, and about half the bulls that I was AIing with were my bulls, another reason I did that.
Right.
But I still use that to match bulls with females that need help in certain areas. For instance, the milk I talked about.
So you got enough pastures to separate all these cows?
Well, yeah, it's how many bulls I've got.
Okay.
So with the mature herd running five bulls, five different pastures, sometimes six.
Right.
Just look at the strengths. And it allows me to use a bull that without this DNA information, I might not have been able to use because I wouldn't have bought a bull with that high of milk. But now that I've got my cows identified, as far as how much milk they've got by that DNA number, I know which ones are higher milking, and we avoid sticking those in with him. And I know the ones that have lower milk numbers, and they need help. Yeah. Their milk needs to come up.
They go in with him.
So I can buy that bull that all his other numbers are perfect for me, but the milk's too high. Now I can go ahead and buy him, and I've got the cows that I can select to put with him where it'll work.
So does your bulls ever tell you, oh, you're not going to put me with them girls again, are you?
No, they're not too picky.
Well, we got to take a break. I got Mr. Jimmy Taylor, vice president of the Taylor Ranch here in the studio with me, and we're just talking what he's got going on the ranch. But when we come back, we're going to talk about, are you chairman or past chairman now of
Immediate past chair.
Immediate, that's the word I was missing, of the beef checkoff. And they had their big budget meeting last week. And we're going to talk about that coming up in a minute. And then coming up in the third segment, Mr. Mike Isley. I'm saying that right?
Mark Isley,
president of the NCBA, is going to come on and talk with Jimmy and I about the EID tag. Because it seems like on that side of the block, they don't like it, but on the other side of the block, they do like it, and we're going to talk about both sides, and you can judge for yourself. But all I can tell you as a radio host of an ag show, November 5th, it's going to be a law, so you're going to have to abide by it. And it's really simple. It's not that complicated, and I'm just going to tell you before Mark comes on, the government's not going to be tracking your cattle with a satellite. I can promise you that. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Harvest equipment tires need to hold up to long hours, different soil conditions, and lots of road time. Firestone Harvest tires are built to keep up. They offer better traction, less soil compaction, better fuel use, and they're puncture resistant. Blair Tire and Feed keeps a bunch of Firestone Harvest tires in stock. Their inventory is huge. And when you need infield service, they guarantee to get there. If you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, they'll find you and get you moving again. Blair Tire and Feed at Highway 283 and 19 in Blair, Oklahoma.
Your cattle need feed. They've got to eat. So you need a reliable source of feed that won't break the bank. Kirk Feeds in Eric offers competitive prices on bulk feed at the store and delivered to your place. We also carry fence wire, T-post, gates, water tanks, and a lot more farm and ranch supplies. We get new products every week, so check back often to see if we have something else you need. We even have the Sportsman covered for all your hunting needs. Farming and ranching is in our blood, and we want to help keep agriculture strong. Kirk Feeds, 117 West 2nd Street in Erie.
If I tell you that I'm going to fix something, you called and something wasn't right, or you call and you say, hey, I need you to make this payment for me next week. I'm going to be out of town, but will you make a note? Will you please, you know, do this for me? That's on me to do that. And if that doesn't happen, I can't say, well, I don't know who took that phone call. I don't know who agreed to do that. If I tell you I'm going to do something, it's going to get done. I'm Laura Carlucci, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 9th. 1,925 head were sold. 12 head of steers at 474 brought 258. 16 at 569 brought 235. 4 at 609 brought 245. 13 at 777 brought 247. 61 at 829 brought 239. 12 at 833 brought 240. 3 head of heifers at 492 brought 245. 8 at 581 brought 235. 17 at 604 brought 228. 14 at 671 brought 234. 10 at 795 brought 226. Butcher cows were 25 to 157. Butcher bulls brought 69 to 173.50. Bred cows were 1900 to 2325. Pairs brought 2600 to 2750. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. Wellington, Texas. Here is your Texas Panhandle Ag Weather Update. 85 degrees, humidity 19, dew point 38. The winds are out of the south at 11. Peak wind gust today so far, 18 miles an hour. Mud to date, precipitation 18/100 of an inch. No red flag minutes. Soil temperature is 80 degrees. Well, in the studio with me is Mr. Jimmy Taylor from the Taylor Ranch out of Roger Mills County. And first segment, we was talking about his cattle, the one I like to listen to the most about, because you never know what he's going to come up with. But now we're going to talk about, he is the immediate past chairman of the Beef Checkoff. Is that, did yes. I say that correct? There's so many associations, I get them mixed up. Anyway, you just got back from Denver. You guys had your budget meetings, I guess, up there?
Right. It was the end of our budget process. That thing started back in the spring, where we determined how many dollars we'll have to spend on programs. This year it was a little short of $38 million. And then our contractors, which come up with programs, projects to do that promote beef, have beef research, and educate people about beef, they'll put these programs in rough drafts, give them to us in June. Those will then go to our summer business meeting. And that's when producers from across the United States that volunteer their time, they come in. We've got 99 of those on our board. And there are 99 from the Federation of State Beef Councils. And those approximately 200 people, those 200 producers and a few importers from across America will listen to these presentations and tell those contractors what they like about them, what they don't like about them. Then the contractors will take those projects back. They'll tweak them a little bit, and then they'll bring them to our operating committee meeting, which just happened, and they'll make those presentations again with the tweaks and the changes that they made. And then there's 20 producers from across the United States that sit on the operating committee. They'll listen to those presentations, and they'll make funding decisions based on what they've heard, and they'll have those in print, too, where they can look at them. They've got the ability to ask those contractors questions about each one of those. Like I say, we had just a little short of $38 million to spend. We had approximately $46 million in projects, so we had to cut funding in places to make the budget work.
Right. Yep.
It's not like the federal government. We can't just print money. We've got to live
within your means.
With our means. Yeah. And the dollars we had to work with, that's what we've got to spend.
Well, I know since I started doing the show and watching exports, imports, and stuff I usually didn't care about, I noticed that, and I know we're going through a little bit of a lull right now because of our cattle herd numbers, but up till last year, you know, you've came in here a couple times over the past years and a couple of years and talking about how Japan and South Korea and countries in Africa are after our items that come out of our cattle that we don't eat as Americans. Mm-hmm. And so it's working, isn't it?
Well, the bottom line to that would be, how many dollars does it add to an animal,
right,
when it's sold? And per fed head, the latest number for the first 7 months of this year is $418 per fed head it adds to that animal.
Right.
So without exports, our fat cattle would be worth $418 less. And if they're bringing less there, the people that are buying them
are giving less.
Are going to give less right on down the line. Right. Whether you're feeder, cow, calf, you'd be getting less money if it weren't for exports.
Right.
Now, the volume that we're selling this year, you brought up numbers, 14.1% of our production goes to exports. Our volume is actually down 2% from last year. We're at about 750,000 metric tons. So the value...
That's a lot of beef.
That is. That is. The value that we're getting for that is actually up 6% year over year for that first 7 months. So we're averaging about $876 million per month. We're on pace to be right at $10.5 billion in exports this year, which will push for second place all time. Second place right now was 2021 with $10.576 billion worth of exports.
What was number one?
It was 2022.
I was going to say, it was right after that, wasn't it?
At $11.68 billion worth.
Do you got like cheat sheet in the back of your glasses there?
No, I look at these numbers quite a bit. So
I thought maybe you had those LED lights flashing those numbers in your glasses
No, and they interest me because it's valuable to what we get for our cattle, those numbers. And you mentioned some of the countries. Japan is a big reason we're starting to push ahead of last year. Right, the last 2 months have been the best months of the year.
Right,
and it's because tourism in Japan is starting to
pick back up
again. They shut down more than other nations during COVID, so it's taken them longer to get things back up and running. So they just moved past China to be our number two market again. China held that position last year. Number one market is South Korea.
Right. So China backed off quite a bit during COVID, but they've rebounded a little bit.
They started back a little quicker than Japan did as far as opening things back up.
So, yes. Anyway, and that's, but no, that's awesome. I think it, myself looking at it, I try to be open-minded on everything and try not to be one side or the other, but I watch that stuff. Well, I get the emails, And so I read all the emails every day.
Right.
I have to, because I might miss something. Uh-huh. But you just sit there and you see the imports, exports, and then I hear people at the coffee table talking about, why are we importing beef from like Brazil and wherever else it comes from? And you and I've talked about it a couple times, and we're going to talk about it here just because we got enough time for you to finish that up. Why do we import so much beef?
First of all, I want to go back to something you said about exports. It's selling things that we don't necessarily eat over here. That's a big part of the exports.
Right.
We had over $1 billion in sales from beef variety meats, which is awful. Things like, and that's not awful, it's awful. Sometimes
it's not waffle.
My Western Oklahoma accent.
You ever talk?
A little tough to understand, but we had over $1 billion in sales. Things like tongue, tripe, liver, things we don't eat over here that wouldn't have much of a value, we're sending to other countries because right. That's what they want. They
right.
consider it a delicacy.
Right.
So back to imports. Imports are up this year. You mentioned Brazil. As far as imports, that is more of a minor country.
Was it Argentina?
No. Our top four are Australia, New Zealand,
yes.
Canada, Mexico, because
right.
the last two because of proximity.
Right.
But, you know, people, when they think imports, they think
steaks.
Live cattle, feeder cattle.
Yeah.
You know, there's some of that that goes on. But, you know, you average over the years, 72% of those imports are lean trimmings. And they bring those in so we can market 10% more of each fed head. Because 10% of that animal is a 50-50 mix of fat and beef, which would have a rendering value if we didn't have something to mix with it. So we take care of half of that need with our cow kill. Well, what's going on this year? You know, our cow kill is down.
It's down.
Is down now. So as a result, we have to bring in more lean trimmings from Australia and New Zealand to take care of that need. The latest number I heard, imports were up, I said, but 92% of that number was lean trimmings. 92% of the imports.
All right, guess what? We're going to have to shut down and take a break so we can talk to Mark.
All right. Sounds good.
Hey, I'm talking with Jimmy Taylor of the Taylor Ranch here. We're talking everything. Anyway, we're going to take a Stockman's Vet break. When we come back, we're going to have Mr. Mark Isley, president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on talking about the EID tag, and we might fit some more stuff in there. So we'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You look outside and notice the grass is getting tall and will need mowed soon. But your old push mower is on its last leg and you sure could use a new mower. You head down to the convenience store and get your usual cup of coffee and pick up a copy of the Penny News. Then you see it. It's right there on the front page. DJ's Rentals in Elk City is discounting their in-stock zero-turn mowers. You think to yourself, now's the perfect time to get what I need and save some money too. My wife will be so proud.
If you get your prescriptions filled at a big box store, either you think it's more convenient or quicker or cheaper. Well, let's see. Let's talk convenience. Grandview Pharmacy has a drive-through window, so you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And since it's in the middle of town, it's pretty easy to get there. Plus, if you can't come to them, they'll come to you. They offer free local delivery. Now, speed. Grandview Pharmacy keeps the shelves stocked because they get shipments of medicine all the time. You don't have to wait for days for your meds to arrive. And once you're in the store, the staff works efficiently to process orders and let customers be on their way. Then there's price. Everybody thinks the box stores offer cheaper medicine. But Grandview Pharmacy is part of a buying group that purchases meds at discounted rates. Their prices are competitive on most items. All the supposed perks of box stores, but they know their customers by name. Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, 1220 West 3rd in Elk City. Get your medicine from people who know you.
We do get travelers going through that have AC that doesn't work. You're running down the interstate and it's 105 degrees outside and it can be that hot, if not hotter, inside. Lots of times during the winter, you can come up with a leak in your system. So it is very important to make sure that that stuff is correctly maintained. Getting it checked out, do your general maintenance is better than wait until it's broke to fix it.
Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Hey, farmers and ranchers, it's time to make your life easier with an easy haul hay trailer from Everett Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma. These trailers are designed to haul multiple hay bales as quickly and efficiently as possible, keeping more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time and make your life easier. What a deal! See all they have to offer at everettwelding.com. Be sure and check out their ads in the Penny News.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Jimmy Jimmy Show. Is that what we called it before?
I believe so.
All right. Anyway, I need to bring up a forecast here for northwestern Oklahoma. And I didn't do it during break because I got to talking with both Mark in it. Let's go with Slap Out Oklahoma up in the panhandle of Oklahoma. 87 degrees. Dew point's 46, humidity's 24, winds out of the south at 14 with wind gust up to 20. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 81 degrees, sunset 7:56, 91 today, 57 tonight, and 89 tomorrow. So, Jimmy, take a wild guess who I got on the phone with me.
Well, I believe it's Mark.
Is it? Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Did I tell you we're a comedy show too?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to keep your sense of humor in agriculture.
Mr. Mark Isley, he's the president of the NCBA, which, for you people who don't know, is the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Welcome to my show, sir.
Pleasure to be here.
And Mark, I told Jimmy during break, we talked checkoff stuff earlier, but for this part of the conversation, I've got my producer hat on.
Very good.
A little curious about some things.
Well, there's lots of curiosity. Let's see what we can lay to rest, and maybe we'll provoke some more questions, but that's the whole purpose.
All right. Well, there's been a little disturbance in the force here lately, especially the closer to November 5th we get. The EID tag. There's a lot of people on both sides of the fences, and I've had some people on my show to talk about what's on, why they don't like it. And let's talk to you, and I want you to explain the whole thing, the EID tag, and why the National Cattlemen's Beef Association is behind this.
Well, there is definitely a need for disease traceability, and we have to have this be able to work at the speed of commerce. We need to make it convenient for folks, and we need to keep the cost to a minimum. Our membership voted this in. It was part of our policy. My job is to promote that policy, and unless the membership tells us otherwise, that's what I'll do. So there is a definite need for this, and I can begin, or you can ask me, and we'll go.
Well, no, I'll let you begin. We're just having a conversation here, and you just talk about it. I got 100 different questions, so we don't have enough time.
I'll bet you do. Well, let's see what I can answer then while we're checking the boxes. Okay.
All right.
The 2013 rule is what everybody got used to. You know, metal tags, readable by sight, non-electronic. They were acceptable. So were RFID tags, writable by sight, plus electronic ID. And there still was the other things that APHIS, the Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service, accepted. Brands registered with the recognized brand inspection authority. Tattoos by recognized breed associations, and some group and lot IDs. And which cattle were required to, that were subject to that 2013 rule? It was sexually intact cattle over the age of 18 months, cattle that were moved across state lines, of course, all female dairy cattle of any age, I believe male dairy cattle born after March 11, 2013, and all cattle used for rodeo, recreation, showing, or exhibitions. So what's the difference between this and the 2024 rule? Well, now they're requiring the tags to be both visually and electronically readable to count as official designation for interstate movement of covered cattle. So basically, we're talking about the same cattle. All right. Nothing has changed in the 2024 rule except that it has to be electronic. And it does go into effect on November 5th. Now, there's a couple of slight exceptions. Cattle that were tagged with a tag or a plastic non-RFID prior to that date, they'll get grandfathered in. That tag will be considered acceptable for interstate movements during the duration of the life of that animal. So you don't have to go back and re-tag other cattle. Okay, the cattle that are not impacted by the 2024 rule. It doesn't apply to any cattle under 18 months of age. It doesn't apply to cattle who are not leaving the state. So if you're staying in the state, it stays the same. You don't have to tag them. And you don't have to change or cancel any of the existing requirements for disease monitoring. So if you're in Washington, for example, and you need an 840 tag as proof of bangs, the state requirement still stands. Okay, now, this does not apply to commuter herds. And this affects me because I've got a commuter herd. I move across from pasture to pasture, and I have those permits given to us by our livestock board. And that's for anybody who's going, like a state or a tribal animal health official, if you're taking cattle to those locations. And in those cases, brands and tattoos are accompanied by a health certificate or shipper receiver agreement. That all works. And in the West, you know, we call those custom range permits. And that's like for Forest Service, BLM, in addition to state tribal lands. Okay, the only tag that's approved right now is the 840 tag. The 900 series tags don't fulfill that requirement because they're not approved as an official means by APHIS. That's the rule that they want to enforce. Okay, why are we there? Well, let me back up a little bit. Let me talk about, a lot of folks are in support of Representative Harriet Hageman. She's my gal from Wyoming.
Right.
And she does not communicate with NCBA at all on anything. We have butted heads. And I am vehemently opposed to how she's handled this. I can work with anybody or talk to anybody, and I listen to everybody. And so she is not really a hero in this deal, despite what some of you folks out in the country think. I know, because I have been under her. I worked around her with the Wyoming Stock Growers Association, the water deal. So let's just get that on the table right away. She said that this was going to cost producers $250 million for tags. No, it's going to cost about 25 to 26. NCBA has already gone to bat for half that. We've got $15 million allocated. We will continue to fully fund that. So producers will not be stuck with that. Let's talk about why we're making this move. I know guys in sale barns are upset, and some folks in the country are upset. I've worked in the sale barn. I'm a jack of all trades, and I like to do that to see what they like, how they need the cattle sorted, what they're looking for to make their job better and makes the cattle more desirable for things. Got to work at the speed of commerce. And guys, everyone's afraid of change. I get that. Hell, some of you would probably still be happy with the sliding bar scale and didn't like the digital move at the time. But the reality is some folks, and I'm going to be blunt here, I'm not going to make any friends. You guys need to take your aluminum tinfoil hats off. I've had veterinarians tell me the same thing, that we are upset over nothing, and I'll continue to talk about that. But the reason is that we're pushing this for disease traceability is basically the United States is behind everyone else. We're behind Canada, Mexico, Australia, the United Kingdom, and several others. We're the last guys to bring it in. And just for an example, let's talk about the UK. When Britain had their outbreak in 2001, and they had no EID, that thing lasted for 8 months. They had to depopulate 6 million animals. Now, here's the thing that really hurts. 60 farmers lost their lives to suicide. And that cattle industry lost $19 billion. That's billion with a B. And it took 18 months to normalize their trade relations with other countries. Now, they went into EID, and after that, they had another outbreak in 2007, as I recall. And that lasted 4 months, down from 8 months. They just had to depopulate a little over 2,100 animals, down from 6 million. Farmers, and there were no farmers that committed suicide, and they lost $200 million rather than the $19 billion from the 2001 outbreak. And with the EID, it took them only 2 months to get back to normal trade, down from 18 months. The other countries are scared. You think about Australia. They're 150 miles from Indonesia. They're terrified of foot and mouth. We're watching stuff come across the border at an unprecedented rate, you know, illegals, and not to mention global shipping and air traffic and trade at the ports of entry. And you think, well, we're okay. We're isolated. I'm in the middle of the country. This thing's not going to hurt me. Well, I'm sure that the hog industry thought they were safe from Asian swine flu. That worked out really good for them, didn't it? The poultry guys thought they were safe until they had to depopulate nearly everything from avian flu. And high-path avian flu hit the dairy people. And the reason, only reason they got that under control was because those animals were electronically tagged. Okay, here's the one I want you to take away if you don't take anything away from this discussion today. The Biden administration was ready to pull the trigger, literally, on a full national stop animal movement with the high path and the dairy outbreak. We would have instantly lost all our export markets. You can count $500 off the value of a calf right now. We had no market for all the unusual products, the livers, the tongues, the oxtails, the tendons that go to the Middle East and go to the Pacific Rim. That would have cost us $200 billion. Think about that now. You can't take cattle out to your pasture. You can't move across the highway. You can't transport stuff to another county. You can't move stuff into your feedlot. You can't move stuff out of the feedlot to the packers. And if you have a backup at the packing plant, they can't move those cattle to a secure location. Think about that. That was going to be a seven-day stop. It would have cost us a fortune, not to mention inconvenience, and everything else would have collapsed around that. So we're not safe from this thing. Foot and mouth could come in, and Border Patrol has caught this stuff at the ports. We know that there's cattle that in South America that they're not reporting. We're trying our absolute best, if we get USDA to get on board, to keep those cattle out, even keep their products out. And it's been smuggled in loads of toys and tires and all kinds of things from other countries. And so we have a real threat. And it could be as simple as people walking across the border. It could also be as simple as a sheep shearing crew coming from another part of the country or another part of the world to do that. So that's where the danger comes from, guys. And in this day and age, the way things move around, it's a huge, huge problem. So I'll start with that. Maybe you got some questions to ask me.
I do, but we're going to take a break real quick. And I do. I have four questions already on the board. And I can see Jimmy Taylor's eyes moving over there, so I know he's got one working inside there. So anyway.
I'll bet he does. All right, that's fine. Yeah. Let's take a break, and we'll pick her back up again.
All right, let's take a Stockman's Vet break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with, and people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
When it comes time to put your hard-earned money toward a new vehicle, count on Lipscomb Dealerships to give you a better value and car buying experience with friendly, no-pressure sales and quality service backed by a half century of experience. Save more in the country at our 7 dealerships across Texoma with over 1,000 Chevy, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Ford vehicles, plus KTMs and Can-Ams, always on sale at LipscombDealerships.com. Good people, great deals, family-owned since 1979.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment. How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Kent Watkins here, owner of SEI AgriTech in Elk City. It is time for fall cover crop seed. This is a critical step in the growing process. Remember, keep it covered. Stop by SEI AgriTech to get all your fall cover crop seed. In addition to that, we are now contracting winter cattle cubes, another very important part of livestock management. Come see me. Let's get all your fall seed and your winter feed contracts done. All here at SEI AgriTech in Elk City, located on South Randall.
The second annual McIntyre Red Angus fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater, featuring 42 registered age advantage bulls, also an elite group of 17 registered heifers, and over 100 bred commercial heifers. View the sale online at cci.live. For sale info, go to McIntyreRedAngus.com. A lot of great cattle is for sale near Sweetwater the first Monday in October. The second annual McIntyre Red Angus Fall event is Monday, October 7th at 1 p.m. at Sweetwater.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. I got Mr. Jimmy Taylor, Vice President of the Taylor Ranch. Tracy's going to kill me. But anyway, here in Roger Mills County, and then also on the phone with me right now is Mr. Mark Isley, President of the NCBA of the United, well, it's the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Thank you both, gentlemen, for joining me. And Mr. Mark, I got some quick questions for you because we got about 8 minutes left.
And okay, let's roll.
I'm going to start with the simple ones first. If I buy a load of calves out of Arizona that are less than 18 months old, they do not have to have a tag. True or false?
Good question. How old are they again?
Less than 18 months.
Yeah, less than 18 months, I think we're okay.
Okay. Or if I send a load of feeder cattle less than 18 months old out of Oklahoma to a Texas feed yard, do I have to have that tag?
I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the big question, and this is coming from our sale barn owner here in Elk City, Mr. Brandon Hickey. He says prior to the 2024 NCBA convention, proposed policy was released that stated the NCBA supported all beef cattle be electronically identified by 2026. This was supposed to have several state associations sign on as supporters. most of which pulled their support before the convention. I know most of our local producers are not in favor of across-the-board mandatory ID. Where is the push coming from for the mandatory ID, and why does the NCBA feel that the push and support is significant enough to propose supporting mandatory ID on all beef cattle animals by
20? We're not pushing it. Our membership has said they don't want it. We are splitting this, just like this country is politically now, and the majority said they don't want that. We're pushing for the mandatory disease traceability, because that's the one we've got to take care of first. The rest of that is for, you know, personal gain, your marketability, your record keeping. That's what we're pushing for. That's a misconception. And some of the states were completely behind it. We had all 50 state vets behind it for disease traceability.
Okay. All right. Jimbo?
So Mark, I've got a question. We're switching out from going to the old metal Bangs tags to the new EIDs. Will those EIDs also work in a traceability situation?
Yes. If you have them, they will work.
Okay. Another concern I've heard out there is, say somebody didn't want to go to the expense of buying the wand that reads those EIDs. I know the EIDs have a number on them. Would they be able just to read the number and not have to purchase a wand if they were?
They can do that. They can do that. Okay. I want to address that real quick, Jimmy. That's a great point. The wands are about $300 to $400, and what they might. Now we're not a big producer. We're just kind of average sized guys. I run most of this with my daughters. They adapt the technology, and I can say this: you can't read tags with a drone. Cows don't tolerate it, and you can't get close enough. We have our own wands, and they put that right in the database for herd management. Mm-hmm. And so that cost has been like $3 a tag for us when we've had to pay them. We have it for our females because that comes through on our bags bank system. So I just wanted to get that out. We're not reading any tags from sky balloons or weather balloons.
Right.
And that's my little catch on that. I always like, dude, they're not going to put $1 billion satellite up there to read your ear tags to see how many cows you got in the pasture. So, but anyway, another question is, all right, so the sale barns, I'm going to take it, are going to take the brunt of this EID tag when they bring them in and they're taking them. Does that affect slaughter cattle? Do they still have to read the slaughter cattle if they're going?
No.
Okay.
Slaughter cattle not required to be ID'd. They can run straight to the slaughter plant.
Okay, so Jimmy Clark lives in Texas, and I go across state line to Jimmy Taylor's ranch, and I buy some second calf heifers, or famous second, you know, they have their second calf on the ground. And I'm going to require that, it's going to be required of me to have the EID tags in that heifer to take her back across the state line. But what if Jimmy Taylor hasn't had those put in yet? Am I going to have to hire a vet to come out to do those or take them to a vet and get it done?
That's a good question. That one I can't answer directly. I would think you probably would have to have, if they're for a veterinarian, you could ask your state livestock board and see what they suggest, because it's going to vary from state to state.
Okay. Yeah, I've been asked that, and I thought about it myself when this first come up. If I go across over, I live in Oklahoma, and I go to Texas, and I buy some 3-year-old cows, you know, with their second calf on the ground, and they don't have that in there. Were they grandfathered in, or do I have to put those, or grandmothered in, and have to put those tags in?
When were they put in again?
I'm just giving you an example. If I went, I live in Oklahoma, and I went over to Texas, and I bought some cows that have their second calf on the ground, and but they've been on the ranch their whole life, so they don't have the tag in their ear. What am I going to need to do?
You'll probably have to tag them to get across the state line.
Okay.
Which you would have to do the old system anyway with a metal tag, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you, Mark? Okay.
Yeah, it's not really that many additional changes. And for us, working the chute was faster and easier. It takes a little bit to get used to that technology, but it didn't take us long. And we felt pretty good about it. Now, Let's talk about databases and privacy. I think that's one that some of the producers are really worried about, and I want to make sure we touch on that before we run out of time.
Okay, we got about a minute left.
I understand. Okay, disease traceability is housed in the official federal and state databases. They are not publicly available, and we're working with Congress to make sure that that is protected, and nobody can use those tags for any other data collection. We can't use them for greenhouse gases. We can't. They're not FOIA-able, so they can't be done by... the FOIA exemptions protect trade secrets, commercial or financial, and protect information that any individual has, and it bans any government from using it, having any authorized disclosure. So we've got that covered, and we're working with Farm Bureau's pork producers and several other animal people in the barnyard to make sure that happens. And we killed the Securities and Exchange Commission when they were trying to do that with a reporting rule. So we don't have enough time to talk about all this, but I wanted to make sure I had that covered for you guys.
All
There's
right.
also seven states that house that, in, that
From
the information.
From Texas
themselves.
To Weatherford, Oklahoma, we are today's best country.
This is my country.
KECO, Elk City.
They'll be face-to-face for the first time on Lisa Brady, Fox News. Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump will debate tonight in Philadelphia. Fox's Peter Ducey is there.
All the big Philly area roads, 95 and 676 and the Schuylkill Expressway, have DNC digital billboards up today warning about Trump's threat to abortion access. We expect that to be a centerpiece of the Harris debate strategy.
Republican National Committee Chair Michael Whatley says Trump is the only one who will talk about these key issues.
Restore our southern border, rebuild our economy, and make sure that America is strong enough to be able to protect our interests at home and abroad.
The ABC presidential debate begins 7 hours from now, 9 Eastern. Fox News Radio will provide live coverage beginning at 8 and then a simulcast. The median income of U.S. households is back to about what it was before the pandemic when adjusted for inflation. This just out in an annual report from the Census Bureau. Household income, though, grew faster during the first 3 years of the Trump administration before the pandemic hit. Tropical storm Francine expected to become a hurricane today before heading for a Louisiana landfall tomorrow, with a storm surge of 5 to 10 feet along the coast and a risk of flash flooding inland.
We're focusing on high water vehicles and boats. We have 87 boats, 387 high water vehicles, and over 50 helicopters to work what we think is the most probable mission post-storm, which would be search and rescue.
Major General Thomas Frelo on National Guard preparations as residents from East Texas to Mississippi also get set for heavy rain and damaging winds. The U.S. slaps new sanctions on Iran, accusing it of supplying ballistic missiles to Russia in exchange for nuclear information.
In recent days, we've been sharing intelligence behind these findings with our allies and partners and working together to ensure that there will be significant economic consequences for Tehran's actions.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken visiting Britain. Iran calls it propaganda. America's listening to Fox News.
At Circle A, we understand the unique challenges of the oil field. That's why we offer personalized solutions for both small businesses and large corporations. Our durable, high-performance gear is designed to meet the toughest industry standards, ensuring your team is equipped to tackle any challenge. Don't compromise on safety or quality. Visit Circle A today and experience the perfect blend of protection, comfort, and style. Your safety is our priority, and with Circle A, you're always in good hands. Circle A, dressing the oil field with safety and confidence. Circle A, 2821 West 3rd Street in Elk City.
We are back. 96.5 KECO.